Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Checkout. You can also get it on iTunes and Stitcher, always on our airwaves on WBGO every Friday night at midnight. Also on WBGO.org. Produced in Newark, New Jersey. What you're listening to right now, musical streams of East and West form rivers of sound, an ensemble led by the trumpeter, vocalist, and santur player Amir El Safar. El Safar may have been born here in the States, in Chicago to be specific, but he's invested his life to learning ancient Iraqi musical traditions. In our interview together, El Safar says that he wasn't actually into the music of Iraq until much later in his development as a trumpeter, after his love affair with Miles Davis, but found a connection with his family in Iraq and went there, in fact, to study with some of its masters. His 17-piece Rivers of Sound ensemble, you'll hear sounds of oud, jauza, bazook, but also the standard instruments you find in a jazz ensemble, drums, bass, guitar. But he also employs the violin and cello and oboe and English horn to execute his wildly dynamic vision. And if you like this exhilarating wash of sound, well, you can go see him. He's coming to this year's Winter Jazz Festival at the Sheen Center on January 5th. Stay with us for a fascinating conversation and music with Amir El Safar. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner. Today we're going to take our listeners into a sonic galaxy that probably you're not so familiar with. One that is led by, we'll just call him Prince the Traveler, Amir El Safar, the trumpeter that captures the essence of Maqam, joins us here on The Checkout. Thank you so much to share this music, your Rivers of Sound ensemble, not two.
It's a joy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's take our listeners to this mystical galaxy of Amir El Safar.
Arabic music and jazz is a sort of a not a very well explored territory. There's not a lot out there that's holding up both ends of that conversation.
There's so much amazing music on this recording. Why don't we just begin with the opening track, Iftitah? How do you say this? What is this?
The opening track is entitled Iftitah, which literally means opening.
Rivers of Sound, Amir El Safar. I've been really enjoying this music of yours. You're creating kind of sonic tapestries that maybe we're not so used to listening to. For people that aren't used to the Maqam melodies or the Maqam tradition out of Iraq, what are we hearing? What is Maqam?
Maqam is one of those terms that one could take a lifetime to try to understand, and that's indeed what I've taken on since my early 20s, I've been on an exploration of Iraqi maqam as well as maqam from other Arab traditions and Persian and Turkish. But it can be distilled to a set of modes, 7-note scales, similar to what we have, which, you know, Ionian, Dorian, Phrygian, the Greek modes, which originated in Babylon a few millennia earlier. But that's still the basis of the Arabic maqams in this, as much as it is the Western tonal system. Basically, these 7-note scales have a lot of variance because they use microtones. And these microtones are pitches that fit somewhere in between the equal-tempered notes of our Western scale. So you might have a mode that is D and then E half flat and then F and G. So it's not a major second, it's not a minor second, it's a sort of a half flat second. And that has a particular resonance. In typical maqam practice, there's a melody, but there's no accompanying harmonic structure around it. There's no framework or counterpoint. There's one form of polyphony, which is heterophony, which means people are playing many variants of the same melody at the same time, but you don't get like a separate line. And that's what I've been working with because of my background in jazz and also in Western classical music. I was always interested in trying to find a way to create harmonic structures that are based in maqam and that don't overwhelm the melodies of the maqam.
I understand there are 56 maqams in existence. How many do you know?
So in the Iraqi maqam, yeah, that's a number around 56. Some people, you know, give or take, it depends on who you talk to. I memorized almost all of them, maybe close to 50, in the years of 2002 to 2005. I had a really, really great teacher who taught me in great detail, everything. Like, he would not accept a slight deviance and it's tricky because this is it's not metered a lot of the time. It sort of sounds like it's free, but that in that free, there's a lot of rules and specific things that one has to follow.
I was wondering if we could do like a little before and after where you can take us to some kind of definitive recording that we could match up with a section of the music that you've written for your ensemble.
Georgina Over Three, it's the second track. It's using a kind of maqam melody, maqam bayat, and it's using an Arabic, specifically Iraqi rhythm called Georgina, which is a 10-beat cycle, but then it's over a 3-beat cycle, hence the name. So we're going to listen to a portion of maqam al-bayat sung by Yusuf Omar, who was one of the great maqam reciters and the ustad or teacher of my ustad. So let's listen to just a little bit of it. Aman aman
فغلا ما يكحل جفنك الغمض أما الصبوح فإنه فرض. Thank you.
Amir El-Safar joins us on the checkout from WBGO. His Rivers of Sound Ensemble, Not Two, from New Amsterdam Records, a 17-piece ensemble progressing the Iraqi Makam tradition that is the prince, the traveler. Do your friends call you that?
You do, and I consider you now to be a friend. So yeah, one of my friends does. Well, that's funny. Prince is the accurate translation of Amir, and El-Safar, if it was with a scene, if it was El-Safar, would be traveler, but El-Safar with a sod, it's a different S sound, means coppersmith. So literally, my family in Iraq were coppersmiths, my grandfather and his father, etc. But I like Prince the Traveler. It's rather apropos to the way my life is. So.
And you kind of look like a prince, a very handsome man.
Oh, you're very, very flattering. Too bad the people listening on the air won't be able to know. But
you just gave us a little insight about your grandparents. Your father immigrated to the United States and moved to Chicago, married a Christian woman, and you are the offspring of those two. And I read that your father really didn't address his heritage from the Middle East so much when you were growing up, that you were sort of had to be a detective to learn about your past. And then all of a sudden, you sort of had a musical awakening of some kind.
So, yeah, I grew up playing Western classical music. My first instrument was guitar, actually. So I was an avid listener of the Beatles and eventually Rolling Stones and Jimi Hendrix. Eventually got into the blues, which led me to jazz. The trumpet became an important part of my life when I was about 14. Upon hearing Miles. And it was actually Miles' modal music that really spoke to me, and which is interesting because that has a lot in common with the Arabic maqam.
You know, I was actually going to ask you, what is the kind of blue recording of maqam music?
Well, that's the thing. It's like when I listen to So What Now, I hear it as a maqam. I don't hear it as a mode. There's one section of Not Two of Rivers of Sound record that has the So What modulation, the half step modulation.
I know where it is too.
You know where it is, yeah. Shards of Memory, which is sort of the last track of the record, which kind of sums up all the themes that have come throughout. To get back to your first question, I had grown up hearing some Arabic music. It was in the background at parties. It was part of our upbringing. But I didn't seriously investigate the music until my sister, who was a few years older than me, began playing Arabic violin, and she started a band called Salam. Then one day, when I was about 19 years old, she played a recording for me. Said, what is that instrument? And then I had to listen to it again, and I couldn't tell if it was a wind instrument or if it was a violin or some kind of vocal. I didn't know, and I had to listen to it several times. And then finally I said, I give up, what is it? And she said, it's a trumpet. I said, what do you mean that's a trumpet? It can't be a trumpet. And then I listened a few, and then I sort of started to understand how it could be a trumpet. The trumpeter was a guy named Sami El-Babli. He's from Egypt, and I sort of had this dream that maybe one day I would meet him. And I was envisioning that I would be sitting at the foot of the pyramid and taking a lesson. That's sort of what my image was. That never happened, but I did meet him. And I went to his home in Al Fayoum. It's an oasis outside of Cairo. And he basically gave me my first lesson in Arabic music just by singing and playing in front of me. And I was soaking up everything I could as a 20, 21-year-old. And then I came back to the States and had intended to go back to Egypt again and study with him. But sadly, he died in a car accident a few months later. And so then I just gathered all the recordings of him that I possibly could find and started learning from those. Really, my journey into Arabic music and specifically into Iraqi maqam was in 2002 when I went to Baghdad. And I got there on March 20th. It was exactly 1 year before the invasion.
And you wept at the airport.
Yeah, I know, I really did. And when I saw 30 members of my family all waiting for me, like with this open embrace, like taking me in, and like I felt like I was part of something that I, you know, growing up in the U.S., far away from that family, I didn't feel that much connection, but they took me in and took care of me and taught me to speak Arabic and sort of became, I mean, really, really became family in that period. And I stayed off and on, but till the end of 2002.
We'll continue with the story of Amir Al-Safar and the music that comes with this incredible trumpet player, his Rivers of Sound ensemble, Not Two. Amir Al-Safar joins us on The Checkout, exploring the music of his heritage. Really a vivid, incredible, absorbing sound. I'm sure people say that to you all the time when they hear this band in concert. They're sort of overcome, probably, with the layers.
Yeah, because the maqam music itself is very embodied. I mean, in the microtones, in the modality, in the sort of stability of the tonic, there's something. As you listen longer and longer, you kind of get deeper into it. It's something immersive, and there's this phenomenon called tarab, which is like a musical ecstasy, and that's really
euphoria.
It's a kind of euphoria, and you sort of lose. I mean, you feel like there's like the room is full of this vibration, and we're just simply part of it. So, I mean, this individual existence, which is kind of how we spend most of our waking lives. Is sort of melts in that moment. And
well, I can say that I got there. I felt this feeling walking my way to work, playing this music in my headphones, especially during this section I'm about to play for you right now. It almost feels like a Middle Eastern waltz, but I guarantee you it's not in three at all. But you do feel like you're dancing and gliding. And this is Hijaz 21-8.
Thank you.
So this is in three, you're telling me?
Well, the 21 can be three and it can be seven. So it's both. It's so a lot of this music, there are layers of rhythmic patterns happening at once. So there might be the Middle Eastern instruments are playing a Middle Eastern groove and keeping it very, very firm and solid. That's, you know, like a traditional 7-8 or the 10-8 rhythm. And then underneath it, there's a pulse of this three, which could be felt as a slow swing or as a waltz. But it's interesting when we play this music for mixed audiences, like when we played in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago, the Arabs in the audience were tapping their feet to the Iraqi rhythm, and the non-Arabs or the Americans and were grooving to the swing. So you could see in the movement of the audience, you could see this polyrhythm that everybody was performing, although not conscious of it. So
that's so dope.
Yeah,
and cool. You're the only one that can see that probably on stage.
Yeah, maybe some other musicians would notice it. But yeah, but having that perspective, I was seeing these guys dressed in traditional Arabic garb with the head scarf, and they were bobbing their heads, and I saw someone, I was like, wow, okay, that's Georgina, and that's the three, Georgina over three. And the same on the Hejaz 21-8, same thing.
Amir El-Safar, was so much fun spending some time with you and investigating this music. Do you feel like, I guess this tradition known as maqam is becoming marginalized for the obvious reasons, all the political unrest and turmoil happening in the region, and all of the masters of the music had to go in exile, much in the same way that a lot of the masters in South Africa had to leave the country. All of your maqam masters had to leave, and many of them are dying off. Do you feel like you are becoming a master of this music?
I feel it's an important part of what I do, but not being a sort of a pure performer of just this tradition. It's a hard question. I've mastered a significant part of the repertoire, and I can perform this music for Iraqi audiences and experts of Iraqi maqam, and it's a valid performance of this music. But not having dedicated my entire life to it, and the fact that I still play trumpet and I do other, write other kinds of music, I don't feel like that's quite my role in the world to be a master of the original form. Where I see my path is in taking the essence and not losing it, not diluting it at all, but actually bringing it into other forms of music where it can live and inform and be in conversation with, whether jazz or classical, or eventually there's other pieces in the works, flamenco, I'm working on right now, but how to sort of call on those essences, because ultimately the forms themselves will come and go quickly, and those are not where we need to spend all of our time and get preoccupied and get lost in. It's the spirit, and the spirit is in the resonances of the tones, and it's in the relationships of the rhythms and how they what they evoke in the body and what they evoke emotionally, and that's what I'm interested in tapping into and sort of keeping alive and continuing, especially in an era when things are moving very fast and we're in this kind of information setting. So,
do you ever wish you learned the trumpet like Stephen Bernstein style?
Oh, the slide trumpet?
The slide trumpet, to be able to play this music.
It wouldn't serve this music very well. It could, but the thing is, the slide is, you're always sliding. You can't go quickly from one note to the next unless they're in different overtones. I mean, trombone players are masters of it. Now, I'm very happy to play the valve trumpet. I just wish that it was in a different key. Because the hardest notes to play on the trumpet are the ones that are most common in Arabic music. So what I do wish is that I started as a 9-year-old playing quarter tone trumpet, because I think I'd be just a wizard right now. So I hope that there's some kid out there that I'm going to start teaching from a young age and teach him, you know, the same exercises that I did on regular 12 tone equal temperament trumpet, but for Arabic scales. That kid's going to be amazing.
Can you tell if somebody is out of tune when they're playing quarter notes?
Oh, your sense of intonation is magnified 1,000 times. I mean, when I hear equal tempered music, I hear it very differently. But absolutely, the quarter tones are super specific. And if you're 3 cents sharper or flatter, you're implying a totally different mode or a different region. And so when I listen to people who aren't familiar with quarter tones playing a phrase, let's say a violinist, it's like every time they play that E half flat, one moment that, like, we're in Egypt, and then the next moment we're in Turkey, and the next moment we're in sort of a 1910 Persia. I mean, it goes very, very quickly if you don't know exactly how to control the tuning. So the resonances are super specific.
Yeah. Can your pianist, Craig Taborn, play quarter tone piano?
When I tune it for him, yeah, which is what he does on the record.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, but he hears it. I've written a lot for quarter tone piano, and when the pianist is hearing the quarter tones and understanding it, they play a certain way. When they're not, it doesn't sound in tune. And it sounds wacky to say it, but it's absolutely true, because I've had the same piece of music played by someone who's saying, "I don't know, it doesn't," and I listen to it later and it's like, "What? Did I retune this?" No, and then someone else who gets it. It's all the subtleties. How you relate to sound. So, yeah. Craig did it well, though.
You have a brilliant ensemble of top-line players from all... You want to give any particular players just quickly a shout-out on this recording? Your oboist, for instance?
I want to give them all shout-outs.
just 17 of them, so
yeah.
There's a lot. And all the instruments that they play, because some of them aren't the conventional... instruments per se, like the bouzouk. Did I say that correctly?
Bouzouk, oud, santour, djoza, which is a spike fiddle. There's a lot of Arabic instruments in this.
And you play the santour.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amir El-Safar, thank you for spending some time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We thank Amir El-Safar for joining us on today's edition of The Checkout, and definitely pick up his recording. It is fabulous. Not Two on New Amsterdam Records. And definitely go check out his Rivers of Sound Ensemble coming to this year's Winter Jazz Festival in New York City at the Sheen Center on January 5th. I'd like to give a special shout out to Anthony Nieves for his assistance. And a quick reminder to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher if you haven't already. And if you like the show, I know you like this one, give us a review. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.